the PowerPoint on John Harper, an example of a man who must have prayed this prayer often. And could I just remind you at this time, while you're turning to Matthew 6, I do have little tracts. Take a few with you to give to your friends, and it is based on the life of John Harper. So if you can use those prayerfully to your friends, give them out, and it sets forth the gospel, of course, clearly at the end. So I got some of those today, and they're there in the porch on the life of John Harper. Matthew chapter 6, and verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we know the Lord shall bless this reading of his word. Now, I suppose it's true to say that millions of men and women have repeated these words, thy will be done, and yet they haven't the faintest idea of what that means. What is the will of God? They don't know. All they know is that words to repeat. Because remember, during the Middle Ages, it would have been repeated, of course, even in Roman Catholic churches. People would, or they would have heard the priest repeat it in Latin, the Pater Noster, it's called in Latin, but they would have no idea. Then sadly, there are others have repeated the phrase, thy will be done, and yet they've no real intention of doing God's will at all, even if they did know it. There's others just repeated, and it's like an empty phrase, and that's what the Lord condemned earlier in Matthew 6 about vain repetitions. Repetition in itself is not wrong, but it's the vain repetition. And how often have people repeated very quickly, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And they haven't even thought anything at all about God's will or even about doing it. It's just a vain repetition. But yet, the words have tremendous meaning. When we stop and think about them and consider them with the help of the Holy Spirit, there are tremendous words. We ought not to let them pass our lips lightly. But really, those words sum up the purpose, the aim, the goal of every Christian's life. And it ought to be the goal and purpose of every creature, every man, woman born into this world. That's what we're born for. That's what we're created for, to do God's will. So it is a very, very important passage. We, of course, have the great example. And the one who gave this prayer is the great example of what it means. Because God the Son came into this earth. Why? To do the Father's will. He said that different times in his ministry. His meat was to do the Father's will. Wist thee not that I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old, he said that. And so he talked about, I have finished the work. We could say he had finished the will that God the Father had for him. So the purpose of God the Son in becoming the mediator was to fulfill the will of the Godhead, for he to perform as our mediator, as our representative, as our Savior. So these are tremendous words. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, it's been well pointed out that prayer is not so much for us to get our will done in heaven, but prayer is really for us to wait before God so that heaven's will or God's will is done upon earth. So many people say as prayer, oh, well, I'm in trouble here and I'll go and try and persuade God to give me something. No, no, prayer is us waiting before God to find out his will and praying for the power to carry it out. Now, you cannot really pray, our Father which art in heaven, and yet not have a desire to do his will. That would be like disobedient children. Imagine saying, our Father which art in heaven, I've no intention to do thy will. It would be hypocritical, wouldn't it? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How can we hallow God's name without obeying his will? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And if we really mean it to pray, thy kingdom come, then we have to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that's what it means for his kingdom to come, is for his will to be done on earth. Now, the trouble is, right from Genesis, and we study Genesis in the morning, but right from Genesis chapter 3, there's been a conflict. God's will versus man's will. When Adam was created, he was created with holiness. He obeyed God. He did God's will. But of course, the serpent came into the garden and told Eve that if you take of the forbidden fruit and disobey God, and you place your will above God's will, and you stop submitting to God's will, and you assert your will, you will be as gods. And Eve fell for it. And instead of saying, "Thy will be done," she said, "My will be done." And of course, Adam took as well of the fruit. He asserted his will above God's will. And what's the history since the Garden of Eden? God's will versus man's will. There's a battle. There's a conflict. When we come to Christ as Savior, we come with a certain acknowledgement that we've been living our own life and doing our own thing, our own will, and we bow before the Lord and his will that we repent, and God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So we're really doing God's will when we repent. But you know, even when we're Christians, there's still a conflict. There ought not to be. There shouldn't be. But there is. There's a conflict between our will and God's will. Even the great apostle in Romans 7 said that, "The good that I would, I do not." Paul acknowledged that even the great apostle, there were times when he struggled with his will being in submission to God's will. God's will. The purpose, of course, of salvation is that we would be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And he, as I've already said, was always obedient to his Father's will. And therefore, the more we grow in the Lord, the more we come to know Christ, the more the Holy Spirit works in us, then the more conformed we will be to the Father's will. That's an important point to make. Well, the Shorter Catechism is good to give that. The Shorter Catechism that we teach in the Sabbath school and so on, in the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things as the angels do in heaven. If you've got a catechism, look that up. It's a wonderful summary. Wonderful summary of it. Now, what do we mean when we talk about God's will? Well, turn over to Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. This is a very important Old Testament verse. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Because when we talk about God's will, we talk about God's will in different senses. You see, God's will is done on earth and in heaven in one sense, his secret will, his decrees. And this will bring out the two aspects we're talking about. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Now, I'll not turn to it, but in just to put a little verse quote in now before we go any further in Deuteronomy 29. Over in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, we read that God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" God's secret will. God does rule. Everything that happens in this life, everything that happens in the world is under his control. God's will is always done in that sense. His decrees, they're called in theology. His secret will. Of course, we can't know that secret will. You see, if you had been Joseph, and the things that happened unto his, the bitterness of his brethren, the wickedness of the world, Potiphar's wife against him, the forgetfulness of friends, when he was lying in prison, you say, well, how could evil things like that be God's will? But yet God overruled all those things. In fact, God did it all. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God orders all things after the counsel of his own will. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, look at it again. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." We can't know them. We can't. We're not God. His ways are not our ways. But it goes on to say this, "But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do that we may do all the will, the words of the law. The verse is saying, look, there are secret things that belong unto God, God's decrees. We'll never know them. He's supreme, he's sovereign. He does his will in the armies of heaven, and no one can stay his hand. But the verse is saying, but there are things that have been revealed. And I believe when we come to this prayer, thy will be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, it's emphasizing the will of God that we can know in Scripture. We can look at places in Scripture and say, look, it's God's will that I do this or that this be done. And we're praying in this prayer, Lord, I pray that your will would be done in my life. It's your will. What's been revealed? That's more what it's talking about. And so when we come to this, remember, of course, God's will is always good. Romans 12 talks about that, the good and perfect acceptable will of God. Well, let me think of the phrase, thy will be done. I want you to think, first of all, of the avenues of God's will being done, the world. Oh, we need to pray that God's will would be done in the world. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the book we're studying in the morning, although I've preached on it before, so we may skip over the early verses of chapter 2. What are we told to pray for, first of all? For kings, for rulers, for all that are in authority. That we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. And remember, Nero was on the throne at that time, the emperor. But Paul said, look, you pray for those that are in authority in society so that they will so do what's right, that Christians will have liberty and be able to preach the gospel. So we are to pray for governments, for those in authority. We're to pray for the world. Oh, that the people in the world would do God's will. We think of Joseph, how God exalted Joseph to second on the throne so that Joseph could carry out God's will. We need to pray for more godly men and women in our society. We ought to pray for the society. We ought to pray for our land. Lord, do your will through the government in this land. Now, you don't need me to tell you, most of the time they're not doing God's will. What I mean by that is God's revealed will. Because abortion is wrong and our government allows it. We can pray, Lord, cause this government to wake up and to realize that God's law is more important than what men think. God's law is more important. Remember we said on Sunday morning, thinking of 1 Timothy, just because a church says something is all right to do, or the government says something is all right to do, God's law says it's wrong. It doesn't change God's law. We're to pray for society. Colossians 1 and 16, thrones and dominions were created by him and for him. We're praying, Lord, thy will be done in Newtownards. Oh, that in homes around this town that God's will would be done, that God's law would be obeyed. And then, of course, we pray it for the church. We come to the prayer meeting, we say, Lord, thy will be done in the church. Because the church is his church. It's not, I know we call it the Free Presbyterian Church to identify us, what we believe and where we stand. But it's not our church. It's Christ's church. And therefore we pray, thy will be done in the church. The Spirit of God indwells the church. So we're praying to the Spirit. That the Spirit of God would move in our church and the appointments. You read in Acts 13 that the Holy Spirit spoke to the church and said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. That the Holy Spirit will appoint people. We're told, of course, in the New Testament by the Savior to pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. So all that's involved, thy will be done. It's four simple words, and yet there's so much we can pray for the church of God, for the activities of the church, that in the outreach, in the services, in everything we do, children's meeting and all the other meetings and Sabbath school, everything, youth, every meeting, every witness of the church, every activity, the Lord, thy will be done. For the Easter Convention, Lord, do thy will in the Easter Convention. Lift up Christ. We know we can pray that because the purpose is in our service is to lift up Christ. So we can pray, thy will be done in the service on the Lord's Day. And Lord, we know that thy will in the Scripture is that Christ be lifted up and the people of God built up in their faith and sinners be converted. So Lord, pray, we'd do that. That's praying this prayer. We pray it for the world. We pray it for the church. We pray it for ourselves. Lord, thy will be done in earth. And what's you and I? You're looking at a lump of clay tonight. That's all we are. Lump of clay. That's what we're made of. We're made of the dust of the ground. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's all we are. We're made out of the dust. We're made out of earth. We're made out of earth. And if we pray this prayer sincerely, one of the avenues we're talking about to pray is not only the world and society and the church, but in my life. Lord, thy will be done in my life, through my life, by my life in this piece of earth. And notice it says, thy will be done. Be done. You're not only praying, Lord, show me thy will, but Lord, help me to do thy will. And in this avenues, I don't have time to go down it, but you know, it's amazing. God has given the scriptures of what his will is. You think of the book of Ephesians. After we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's part of God's will. So, Lord, fill me with thy spirit to enable me to do thy will. The verses before say, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, be filled with the Spirit. So we're to know what God's will is. Thy will be done. Lord, teach us thy will and give us the Holy Spirit's power to do thy will. And then Paul goes on, husbands, love your wives. Wives, fathers and mothers. There's the word parents, it's really fathers, on, but it includes the mother, I believe, in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents. Employers, employees. So when we pray, thy will be done, do you know God has said something in the scripture about every area of our life? There's no area of our life that's not covered in the word of God. God has given directions as to what his will is. The will of God is our sanctification. Thanksgiving, this is the will of God. We're to be thankful. So, have to hurry on. The avenues of our prayer, our life, our family, our finances, our career, everything. But what about the attitude? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's how we're to do it. Do you know, there's an amazing verse over in Ezekiel 3 and 14. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. That's Ezekiel 3:14. I went in bitterness. Do you remember Jonah? Oh, Jonah went to Nineveh. You could say, in one sense he did God's will. But I tell you, his attitude wasn't very good in doing God's will, was it? Wasn't. We're to do God's will as it is in heaven. In other words, that's the attitude we're to approach this prayer. And that's a very important thing. We sang it earlier. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I delight to do thy will. David, of course, wrote it first, but the Savior quoted that. I delight to do thy will. We sang it. Oh, I delight in his command. Love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by bloodstained Calvary. When we pray this prayer, we're saying, Lord, I want to do thy will joyfully. Joyfully. It says in 1 John 5 and 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If you really love God, you'll want to do his will. You'll want to do his will as it is in heaven. How do angels do his will? Psalm 103:20, angels do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Do you know in heaven, his will is always done. There's only one will in heaven, and that's God's will. You know what's wrong with our earth? How many is it? 6 billion people? There's 6 billion wills on earth. Everybody wanting their own will. Heaven is heaven because God's will is the only will that's done. As it is in heaven, what's our attitude to do God's will? We're to do it unwaveringly. In other words, consistently. We're to do it completely. When angels are told to do something, they do it completely. When angels are commanded to do something in heaven, they do it sincerely. We're to do it that way. They do it willingly. Oh, I know some of the angels were cast out when Satan rebelled, but today the angels in heaven, when their king and master, and God tells them to do something, to do it willingly. That's how we're to do it, fervently. Could you imagine an angel seeking to do God's bidding and not being fervent about it? Of course not. We're to do God's will fervently, readily, swiftly, constantly. In other words, that's what we're saying. Lord, thy will be done on earth, that we do it the way the angels do it in heaven, obediently, fervently, and so on. Well, you look around you in society, do you see God's will being done like that by people? If we look at our own lives, do we do God's will like that? Rushing to do it with joy? It says that we ought to do it that way, and how far removed that is. You know, most time people, when they pray this prayer, thy will be done. Do you know, I think most even of God's people, certainly those from a religious background, do you know when this verse is quoted? When there's been a tragedy in a life. And it is sad, of course, a tragedy. I've stood in homes with tragedies. But that's most times I've ever heard that prayer said or mentioned. But the prayer is active. It's active. In fact, you go through the Bible where you read about God's will. I think I'm right in every place, or certainly most that I can know of. It's an active seeking and doing of God's will. And yet, is it not true that many today tend to think of that prayer, thy will be done, in the sense of passiveness, resignation? There's a tragedy happen. Oh, well, we have to submit to God's will. Oh, it must be God's will. This prayer is more of us seeking, Lord, what is thy will, so that I can do thy will? Whereas most people even take it in a bitter way. Oh, this tragedy's come into my life, but I'll have to take it because it's God's will. I'll never forget many years ago, we were in a house, and there'd been a bereavement of a six-year-old child. I conducted the funeral, but there was a certain, I'm not going to say where, obviously, but from another denomination completely, came in, a pastor and his wife, and she had the massive Bible under her arm to the wake house, and we were sitting there. She didn't really know we were there, and she came in, and the first thing she said to the granny in the house was, oh, little, and she named the child, oh, she was too good for this world. And God took her to be a little angel. That's why the accident happened. She was killed with a digger. That's why it happened. It was God's will. Because God wanted to take her, but she was too good for this world. And he wanted another little angel, and he wanted a little rose for his garden. You know, I'm glad that's not what they teach in our theology class in college. You want more comfort than that. You want a lot more comfort than that. You see, praying thy will be done is not some type of resignation that you're in a terrible situation. Please don't understand me. We ought to be sympathetic to anybody going through trials. But what I'm saying is, so often the prayer is a case like that. It's a well-known illustration is used. In fact, I prepare this and then I look at Alan Kern's notes. So I haven't had a chance to look too much at them. I just want to take the simple things. Alan Kearns would take you for weeks going through this. Not all be good, by the way. But he used the same thing I was going to use, that a famous theologian once insisted to his young daughter to come a walk with him. And she said, no, I don't want to go, Daddy. Oh, you do. You'll enjoy it. Get out into the beauty of the flowers and the mountains and the fresh air. Come on, dear. No, no, I don't want to go. And he says, come on, come on. And they walked down and they saw the beautiful trees and so on, went out for the walk and come back in. He said, now, when you've seen all that beauty, aren't you glad you came with Daddy? No, I only went because you're bigger than me. That's what I'm trying to say. That's how some people look at this prayer, thy will be done. They repeat the words in that same type of attitude. Lord, your will just had to be done, therefore I submit. What I'm saying is, that's not the attitude of the prayer. The attitude is, Lord, what is your will for me to do? To do. It's an action. Lord, what have I to do in this situation? What have I to do with my life? What do I do in the family? What do I do in my business? What do I do in this or that in the church? It's an asking. That's what we're talking about here. One last thing, and
I see that clock speeding me again. The avenues of the will of God, the attitude to the will of God, but the advantages. If we pray the prayer, we are blessed. The idea, of course, in this prayer is it's our focus is on God's name being glorified, His kingdom coming, we doing His will. But you know, when you do His will, there are advantages for us. What does it say of the Lord Jesus Christ? He always did the Father's will. What does it say in Hebrews 2? It's a quote from the Old Testament. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. The Lord Jesus Christ as man, as our example, he knew joy as no other human being ever knew joy. Why? Because he knew God's will more than any other person. And he did God's will perfectly. That's why he had joy. Romans 2, I've talked about it already. His will is good. His will is good. We didn't say it's always easy. Didn't say that. It's often against our own flesh and against the trend of the world. It's like you always take it like going against the flow. Any dead fish, you know, can float with a stream. It's turning around and going against. But I'm not saying it's easy, but I'll say this, it's joyful. God's will always brings joy. True joy. Paul said in the book of Acts, and he asked the believers to pray for him, he said that I might finish my course with joy. Look at how he was put in prison and beaten up and stoned. And of course, he wanted to finish his joy. And he wrote from the prison to the book of Philippians, and over again he talked about joy. Joy. I'm in the prison. I'm in jail here. I miss you and I think of you, but rejoice! He was doing God's will. And he was able to rejoice. There's great peace, of course, in doing the will of God. Let the peace of God reign or rule in your hearts. There's a peace comes when you know you're obeying God's will. When you know, there it is in the Word, God has shown me, and I am obeying it, doing God's will. There's a peace comes into your life. Of course, there's a security comes into your life when you're doing God's will. You can be absolutely secure that you know that God will keep you in His will, for all things work together for good to them that love God. And if you love God, you'll keep His commandments, you'll do His will. So that verse is really saying, He'll watch over you. When you're in His will, you know that the grace of God is around you. There's a supply when you're doing God's will. Because God will always supply what you need. If God gives a command and you seek to know that command and obey that command, God will give the ability to keep that command. There's a sense of fulfillment. When we come to the end of our journey, there's many things will not really matter. The only thing that will really matter is, have we done God's will? Someone said this, I don't know who it was originally, but I like to quote it now and again. And it is this, especially with young people and to the college and to the students. What is success in life? Remember, Joshua was told, if you read this book and obey this book, then thou shalt have great success. Joshua chapter 1, I think it's verse 8. What is success in life? People would say, well, good job, fine, certainly aim for that. Many other things I could list, but you know what success is? Finding out the will of God, following the will of God, fulfilling the will of God. That's what success is. Because when we come to the end of our life and go out into eternity to meet the Lord, that's all that'll matter. How much attention did we give to finding God's will? Thy will be done. Lord, I need to know Thy will. That we'll follow God's will. Lord, Thy will be done in my life on earth. And I'll do it as the angels do it in heaven. And that I would finish God's will. No wonder the psalmist said, teach me Thy will. 1 John 2 and 17. The world passeth away. The lust or the desires, that means they're off. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Nothing more important in the Christian life than to know the will of God. Let's just sing a couple of verses. I know time's gone on, but there's a lovely hymn.